mainstream.
Well, hey there. You're listening to Deb's The Horoscope Lady on BBS Radio, right here at 10 a.m. in the morning. Good morning. Let me see. I'm going to continue the talk today about Saturn, who just moved into Leo, and what that means. And you don't have to know anything about astrology to sit back and listen. You're certainly welcome to call in with questions about your life and possibly what Saturn's going to be doing for you for the next 2.5 years. I am a sidereal astrologer, and that means I look at the planets against the backdrop of the constellations, just like everybody in India does, all the Vedic astrologers, and of course all the Western sidereal astrologers. We don't use the tropical zodiac, which is actually based on the seasons. For instance, I would tell you it's July 18th, 2007, and the sun just got to Cancer. It's in 1 degree of Cancer. The moon is in Leo. Venus is in Leo. Saturn just got to Leo last Friday, or last Saturday, depending on which side of the world you're on. Mercury is in Gemini, Mars is in Aries, Uranus is in Aquarius, Neptune is in Capricorn, Pluto is in Sagittarius, and Jupiter's in the middle of Scorpio. The nodes, North Node is up there in Aquarius, and South Node is down in Leo. And some of that will sound all right to you, and some of you will be saying, what? What? Things aren't there, but I promise you they are. Let me do a little office, I guess, housekeeping here. My office angel Mary would like me to announce that if your zodiac challenges have been delayed getting to you, they are coming, as well as I know I'm backed up 3 orders for astrological consultations. And we apparently lost 14 of the free birth charts people had ordered over the Internet due to server errors. So we're recovering all that. We know we have orders out there. We just don't have all the information on them. And as soon as they get pulled from the server, we will get them out. Let me see. What else? Oh, and we're talking about these things that you can order, the free birth charts. You can get from searchbythestars.com. The zodiac challenges you can get from mybirthchart.com, as well as astrological it has just been, I tell you, I don't know where you are in the United States or around the world, but it's like 92 degrees here, and I was out gardening, which was lovely to be doing before I got in here, but I thought, should have stopped for some lemonade before I did. Anyway, astrological consultations, that's it. Oh, and I do want to mention right after my show today, my good buddy, Angel the People Whisperer, he's going to be on right after me. He's starting his BBS debut. He's a great guy. He's a sidereal astrologer. I think he's coming on more as a psychic, but he's one of those astrologers that look at the stars the way they are. All right, Saturn and Leo. Now, the last time Saturn was in Leo, if y'all were old enough, you know, to resonate with this, it was September 27th, 1977 to November 3rd, 1979, and then again briefly from March 15th, 1980 to July 26th, 1980. Now, I'm going to repeat those dates again, and I want you, if you're old enough, certainly think back about what things were happening in your life at that time. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because you are going to have similar experiences in the next couple of years. Hopefully, with what you learned before, you can take it up a notch. You don't have to do it exactly the same way. Matter of fact, some of you will be on the other side. It was like if you consider it a play going on, and you were a child at that time, now you get to be the parent. You get to see it from the other side. Again, those dates were when Saturn was in Leo before September 27th, or the day before, day after, 1977, to November 3rd, 1979, for those 2 years. And then it was back, Saturn was in Leo from March 15th, 1980, to July 26th, 1980. So, for the next 2 years, Saturn's in Leo. Now, if you are certainly a sidereal Leo, meaning that when you were born, the sun was actually in Leo, and not a tropical Leo, where it, for the most part, the sun was actually in the constellation of Virgo. Here, I'm flipping through here. You will find that you will have a lot of responsibility in the next 2 years. You, there will be a lot of pressures. In some ways, this will be a very strong testing time, to where it, you'll feel it like it's either going to make you or break you. And in a lot of ways, that's true. Now, I assume most of you will do just fine through this. Attitude is certainly everything. And you can take these tests and these challenges as they come as one grand adventure. And you're going to get through it, and you'll get through it just fine. Sidereal Leo is usually around August 16th to September 16th. So if you were born between that time or close to those dates, and it could be as early as August 15th to September 15th or 17th, depending on, again, where you're born in the international dateline where it's falling. Saturn, you've already felt it. You have already felt it. Now, if you do not have your sun there, I guarantee you, you don't even need a planet there. You have this somewhere in your life, somewhere in your chart. And as it moves, as Saturn moves through the constellations, people go, they rise, they fall, they have responsibility in different parts of their life. And a lot of this is very positive. It's when you buy your first house. It's when you get married. It's when you get that promotion. It's when you graduate. These are examples of different times. It's when you have a baby. A lot of people, it's like, oh, okay, I got to grow up now. I got somebody else I got to take care of. It could be one of your elderly parents needs to be taken care of, and it's your turn to do that. It's all about responsibility. A lot of times people get promoted during this time period, or they start their own business, and it's all about responsibility. I was reading last week, and this has nothing to do with astrology. It's actually Evelyn Underwood was the name of the writer. She was a mystic that lived about 100 years ago, or wrote 100 years ago. And in her book, The Mystical Process, she had five steps. And I was reading that. I thought to myself, you know, this is kind of what people go through with Saturn, the five stages of Saturn. Now, with the mystical process, not all of us make it through all five steps, and we're not supposed to. We don't have to. It's not a grading system. You know, if you don't get past this, you know, kind of thing. But in a smaller way, it's what we all do when Saturn moves not just through our charts, which takes a full 28 years from the time you're born, but also through the individual houses. And there's 12 houses. There's 12 areas of life. You could make it much broader and say there's actually four areas of life that come in three parts. You know, 3 times 4 is 12. So you get that in there. But I want to go through this, the five steps that Evelyn Underwood used for the mystical process, and, you know, see if it will help you figure out, okay, how do I get through the next 2 years in this area of my life? And it could be personal, it could be about your family, it could be about relationships, it could be about career. How do I get through this with flying colors, so to speak? You know, what do I have to go through? What are the different stages I have to go through? Now, if you call in, I will need your time of birth, not just your day, to tell you where exactly Saturn is in your chart, or transiting Saturn, as well as your natal Saturn, of course. And, you know, what area you are going to be experiencing this, Saturn and Leo. The first step of Evelyn Underwood's system is awakening. You know, it's a very simple, okay, I'm aware of this situation. And many of you have been, and this is, you know, yes, it just happened this past weekend, but, you know, you've been feeling it a little bit longer than that. I'm aware of, I have an identity issue, okay. People are not seeing me the way I want to be seen, or I would like to move to the next level and be seen a certain way, or I'm having a financial issue. I know what I want to do. I know I want to put this addition on. I know when I send my child to college, but, where does that money come from? People could be having, This is a classic one. A family, of course, issue, and that could be like with your siblings. Why, you know, they're having problems, or they're back in your life, or you need to be helping out with their children, you know, somewhere along those lines. And it's like, okay, what am I doing with this? Many of us, of course, you know, go through these periods of fighting with our siblings, and you know what, these childhood jealousies that carry over. It could be an issue about the home. It's like, okay, it's a little bit too small. Do I move? Do I build on? You know, what do I do with this? It's the awakening. It's like I'm aware of something going on. For some of people, will just either they'll be pregnant or have just had a child, and all of a sudden now they're aware of all kinds of things that, you know, you just aren't until you do have a child. And people can tell you things, and you can observe, and you can do all that, but until you essentially join the club, you have no idea, you know, what that means to be up all night with a crying child, and you become aware of that. Some people are going to be having sort of a crossroads at their career. You know, I've been working at this, and it doesn't seem to go anywhere. Should I hop careers? We had a caller like that last week. You know, should I hop careers? Should I stick with it? Some people are going to be going through health things. It's like, okay, my doctor's been saying for years I need to lose weight, or, my cholesterol, what is that about? You know, why do they keep saying it's on the high side? Now it's way high and they want me to take medication? What's this? You know, you're becoming aware of something. You're becoming aware, oh, I got a little pain, aches and pains there. Is that normal, or is, you know, can I do something about that? Some people definitely being aware of, I'm tired of being alone. I want to be married. I want to settle down. I want to have a partnership. Other people will be having issues with just the opposite of that. It's like, okay, I have been in this relationship for a long time, and what am I doing here? You know, it's like, am I just bored? Is this a 7-year itch? Or have we truly grown apart? And that's kind of a painful one, but that certainly happens if Saturn is transiting through your 7th house. Or your 8th house, in which case it's trust issues. Gee, can I trust that again? Can I trust this environment again? Am I in a culture? Am I in a neighborhood? Am I in a society that nurtures me? Can I trust the people I work with? Can I trust my partner? That's also a tough kind of Saturn one. Some people will be aware of, may just have this awakening about, and this will be not just younger people, even though most astrologers think about it that way. It can be people in different stages of their life. Hey, there's a whole new world out there. There's experiences I haven't had yet, and I want to do traveling, or I want to, you know, I'm 72 years old and I want to go back to college for something fun, or I'm young and, you know, I want to travel before I go to college, you know, sit in a classroom for another 4 years, you know, so if you've just finished doing that for 12 years. And you'll be aware of there are things outside of yourself that people had told you about, but now you want to experience them. You know, now it's becoming an experience, not just this event. Some people will become aware of people are looking up to them at work. They've either been there long enough or they've come in with these credentials, and people are looking to them to provide some sort of leadership, to provide some sort of innovative ideas. It's like, no, you can't just sit here anymore and take orders. We want you to be the one who initiates things. Some people will be aware of, or have this awakening about, okay, I've been doing all this stuff for so many years. How do I get back to my community? You know, I've been focused on my career. I've been focused on building this segment up. All right, how do we make this more of a community now? So it feeds more than just the individual. It feeds, you know, a large group of people and long-lasting. And some people will be certainly have an awakening and be made aware of the, just basic fragileness of human life, that, you know, it's here and you're going along, and then the next minute something happens and you're not quite as able or as capable as what you were before. And, you know, it's like, all right, what does that mean? You know, physical therapy, okay, I've heard about it, and it's not much fun. So people will be going through different experiences over the next 2.5 years based on where Leo is in their chart, and certainly in their sidereal chart, and where Saturn is transiting. These are big-time experiences. Unlike some of the other planets that move through quickly, or, you know, you go through and they seem like kind of a breeze, you know, Saturn's always been a big one. He is, you know, considered the most beautiful planet out there. It's the one you see usually in jewelry, or people draw Saturn because of the rings around it. It's very colorful. It is the farthest planet you can see without binoculars, if you still have decent enough vision and you're in clear enough night skies that you can see out there. And very much it's still part of our personal lives, as opposed to the planets past Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which tend to belong to society, and people try to grab them for their own. They're the new kids on the block, so to speak. But Saturn is, he was always the farthest out planet, and he was always the one, you know, to the ancients, that, you know, you progress through everybody else. And then you got to a state of responsibility. So anyway, so you have this awakening. You're being made aware of something is going on in your life that wasn't happening before. You have a need in your life that you didn't have, you know, immediately before this. You might have been thinking about it, but it wasn't right there. It wasn't knocking at the door. The second step that Evelyn Underhill uses in the mystical process is she uses this lovely old-fashioned word, purgation, meaning to purge. So what Saturn will do is, now that you are aware, you have awakened to something and you are aware of something new, now you have to purge, you have to make decisions, you have to choose what you're going to do. Okay, let's say it's financial issues. And, all right, so I am made aware of that I need more money, not just to live, but for these things I want to do with my life, or for my child, or, you know, just to have my nest egg or whatever. Now, that means either you've got to do something to bring in more money. So what are we going to purge? What are we going to do? We're going to give up spare time. We're going to give up our leisure time if we want to either take a second job, or we want to start looking for another job that's more demanding. And more demanding a job is, it tends to pay more, so you can do that. It means you've got to get rid of ideas of, yes, I can do it this way because I've always done it this way, but geez, that doesn't bring in any more money. You may have to give up habits that you've acquired, that you've enjoyed. It's like, yes, I like going down to my local coffee shop and spending $5 a day. You know, that's $25, $30, $35 a week, depending if you're going 5, 6, or 7 days. What can I do with that money? Or I might have to give up just getting in my car and, you know, driving up to the grocery store every time I've forgotten something, because now all that money is going on gasoline, where before I didn't have to think about it so much. I mean, those are very simple things that people will have to give up. Some people will have to give up, of course, their job completely, or even give up their home. What they're giving up is something they've identified with that they depended on creating a structure for themselves. Let me say that again. What they have to give up is something they have identified with that has created a structure, a very Saturn word, that has kept them the way they were, things that they were. And that was good for a certain amount of time, but it's got to change if you want your life to change. You know, if I don't like driving a little car, then I've got to give that car up to go drive a bigger car. If, you know, it's just very simple things. If I'm tired of wearing high heels, well, not that I have for years anyway, but if I'm tired of wearing high heels and I want to look taller, okay, well, I can put on sensible shoes and wear clothing that flows and elongates me. I mean, that's kind of a silly example, but I want you to see it. It's like you have to make these choices, and what you will purge, what you will get rid of, are things that you've identified yourself with, and people certainly do identify themselves with their clothing, their cars, their house, their jobs. clubs they belong to, things that they do. You know, their status, you know, I'm somebody's wife and mom, and that's a wonderful thing. And if I want to do X, Y, and Z, well, maybe I can't do that anymore. I can still be a wife and mom, but yes, while my child's at school, I've got to go get a part-time job somewhere. I've got to do something else. And you no longer see yourself as, okay, my husband took care of me all these years. You know, these things will change. Or you see yourself as a man that can, you know, I work one job, I come home, I play ball on the weekends or play music or do whatever I want to do. And I have to give up that identity. I, you know, can no longer go carousing with the guy, so to speak, because now I have these other responsibilities. And that's okay, because that's, if you make these choices, if you purge yourself of the things that used to say this is who you are, then once that falls away, then you can look to what can start building up the new you. Now, I will tell you, humor is a good way to break away from conditioning. The worst thing to do is to be resentful of it. And I think a lot of people get stuck with Saturn because they're upset about it. You know, they don't like this. If someone's entering a 12-step program, you know, they certainly want to purge themselves of a lot of things because they don't want to be caught up, you know, in that abuse cycle anymore. But now they got to think of themselves as something else. And humor is a great way, you know, to get through that. You know, they don't want to think of themselves as someone who has to go to meetings or has to do this or, you know, has to go through all those 12 steps. But they have to if they want to change their lives and change their lives by choice. Humor is a great way to break away from this conditioning of who you thought you were. If you are resentful of it, you're going to get stuck. If you can laugh about it and say, oh, yeah, I thought I was always going to be a kept woman, or, oh, yeah, I thought I was always going to be footloose and fancy-free and go play with the guys, that's what I used to do, you know, and joke about it and to themselves, then it's a lot easier. The third step, and again, this is, you know, Saturn is in a house for about 2.5 years. It's not 2.5 years solid. It goes in and out. But the third step is illumination. And that's part of the mystical process that Evelyn Underhill, you know, she laid these out. And the illumination comes after, you know, you have your awakening, and after you purge yourself of something, you get that aha moment. It's like, okay, this is why I'm putting in the overtime. This is why I'm studying so late at school. This is why I'm balancing, you know, all these things that I'm balancing in my life, because I feel a certain way. I express myself a certain way. I can see myself becoming more the person that I wanted to. This is why, for people that start traveling or buying property or in different areas, it's like, oh yeah, now I know why I'm doing this. Now I know why I made those sacrifices, why I made those choices, why I'm doing this. And for the mystics part, this is where you experience unconditional gratitude. Man, I'm so glad I had to go through all that. I'm so glad, even though it wasn't easy, I'm glad I had that experience because it brought me to this point. And the same way with Saturn. If you are, you know, had to change and you are conscious of what you're doing, then at some point, no matter what you've had to give up, no, and including, you know, those $5 morning coffees, you know, kind of thing, to get to what you want to, or if you're practicing, if you're an athlete and, you know, you want to go do a triathlon or something, and you know what kind of things you have to give up to get to that point. You know, when you're running and you get that feeling and you see the results, if you've had health issues and all of a sudden, you know, 6-8 months down the road, you turn around, you know, your pants are loose on you, but, you know, when you're standing up taller, you're, you know, straight back. But more so, you after a good night's sleep, you bounce out of bed. You know, and all of a sudden you realize things start going better in your life. And you feel better, and you get this aha, you get this illumination. And you say, you know, it was tough, but I'm really grateful I went through that. The fourth, number four, is never a cheery one. It's the one, actually, that people talk about Saturn so much being associated with. And that's not quite fair. I say it's not quite fair because I think people tend to be a little overdramatic with this. And I guess that's appropriate for Saturn and Leo. She calls it the dark night of the soul. Now, I want to tell you, what the dark night of the soul, the way it was originally, you know, used, it was not a depression. It was not, you didn't have to be beaten down completely. But what it was and what it is for not only the process of mysticism and being a self-actualized human being, that's a mouthful, but going through the Saturn thing, it's like, okay, you know, I was awoken, right? I had this awakening, and I got rid of all these bad habits or got rid of things that were not necessary and actually were hindrances for me to get to where I wanted to in life. Okay, did that. Had my illumination, had my aha moment, and I realized, man, this is what I'm doing it for. This is why I'm doing it. And then, all of a sudden, you enter this time where things aren't working anymore, or something's not particularly working. It's like, wait a minute, you know, why am I I'm two steps forward, one step back? What is all that about? And there's, it's marked, you have this confusion, you have this sense of helplessness, and also almost a stagnation of the will. It's like, okay, enough is enough. I can't go any farther. The purpose of this is to shake that ego up and toss it off, make sure it's not in the driver's seat. Now, I don't have any problems with people having strong personalities. I think the ego is a wonderful tool, but that's what it is. It's a tool. It's not who you are, and it should never, ever be in control. So that's what the dark night of the soul will do. It's like I'm making progress. And this is how it'll come out. Like, let's say this is a career thing for you and you've been promoted and you can see all the changes that need to be made and you make changes in the personnel, you make changes in the way the company operates, at least your division of it. You make changes and you work them, and you give up hours at home so you can be there and learn and, you know, work alongside, and you do all this stuff, and you've got this wonderful aha, you know, everything's flowing along pretty good. Then all of a sudden, something will go wrong. You know, somebody corporate way upstairs will say, wait a minute, got to do it this way, or, oh, we're cutting back here, or, you know, the economy just went wrong, so, you know, we can't, this is going to cost twice as much to get somewhere, or we can't get this part, or whatever that is. And the ways that you used to solve this problem are not working anymore. And, you know, relationships, same thing. It's like, all right, before, when she got mad at me, all I had to do was, you know, bring home flowers and suggest going out to dinner. That's not working anymore. You know, why isn't that working? You know, I can't even get a conversation out of this person. Like I said, people will go through these different kind of things during this, you know, little Saturn time here. What you're supposed to do at this point is stop and realize that isn't working. What you did before is not working and won't work like that. And it's as simple as, you know, when you're a child, you can get attention by being goofy. And grown-ups will laugh at you and give you the attention you want. Unless you're Drew Carey, or unless you're a comedian, you can't do that as an adult. You know, you certainly can't do that in an office situation. You can't do that necessarily when you're trying to make a relationship work. You know, it's just, no, stop acting goofy. I need to talk to you. You know, that's not working anymore. So, you know, when you realize when you're a child, it's like, okay, different things are expected of me. And you change because of that. When you're a grown-up, it's a little harder sometimes because you're thinking, well, this is the way we always did it before. You have to stop and realize, okay, and you ask yourself, you know, just ask the question, all right, how can I make this work? And it certainly helps if you meditate or if you're quiet, you know, cut off all the noise. You can go out and ask experts, I would say, if you were guided to or whatever, or look for different ways to do things. But with Saturn, it's very easy. If you just settle yourself down and you say, okay, what's the answer here? the answer will come. There's always answers out there. We live in a world of duality, and if there's a question, there's an answer for it somewhere. You know, and the trick is to be quiet long enough and be clear enough about your question that you get the correct answer, because sometimes there's those multiple choice things. The final thing, when Saturn leaves Leo in a couple of years and goes into the next house, what you should know about that area of your life, and of course if you have planets in there, you know, it'll come down and affect all of those, but what you should know about that particular area of your life, hopefully you would reach what Evelyn Underwood called union in the mystical process. And this is where your consciousness becomes stabilized to present moment consciousness. Now, she's talking about being a mystic, of course. But what it would mean in the astrological world, what it would mean for what you're doing with your chart as a person, that you should realize, okay, this is what I know about this area of my life. This is what I know I'm capable of. This is what I know I can depend on. I've learned this stuff. And until next time, until things change, I can use this information and go on. It is not a bad thing. Normally, you know, Saturn will come out of a house and some people will just go, oh, whoa, thank goodness that's over. Matter of fact, most people will do that. I am so happy that last 2 years have ended. And if you have your sun in sidereal Cancer, that is very much a lot of people what they're feeling. They just can't help themselves, particularly younger people. I do a lot of work with children, and because they are helpless to, you know, make things happen in the world, you know, and change some things, they you know, tend to feel quite oppressed by Saturn when it happens. But if you were born between July 16th and August 16th of any year or thereabouts, and you have your sun in sidereal Cancer, you know, you're probably this past week, it's like this great weight coming off your shoulders. You just get up happier in the morning. If you are an adult, yes, I would expect you to feel lighter, but I would expect you to feel lighter because, you know, over the last 2 years, you should be able to pat yourself on the back and say, man, I did a good job. I did have a lot of responsibility. I did go through a lot of things. But now, you know, I know what I'm capable of. I'm more compassionate. I'm more ready to give back to others, and I am more able and ready and willing to have a full life myself, to jump into things with both feet. That is the gift of Saturn. That really is. It's like once you get through all of this, you know, things are so much easier. Things are wonderful. Now, I would like to mention just briefly, a little bit of time here left. I've been talking about Saturn quite a bit, and all of y'all are going to be feeling it. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is coming. It is here, and that's okay. It does what it does. One of the other, it's considered a much sweeter planet, is going to be going retrograde very soon, and not for another week. It actually goes retrograde on July 28th. And Venus will be at 8 degrees Leo, coming back from Leo, and it'll be going back into Cancer. I mention this now because I want you to be aware of this now. And what when astrologers say retrograde, what we're talking about, or astronomers for that matter, and you hear that a lot, and normally during a Mercury retrograde, we're all running around going, oh, it's Mercury retrograde, you know, and there's all kinds of electronic problems and whatnot. During a Venus retrograde, if you look at the planet Venus, you go out in the, right now, she is an early evening star. She is up very quickly after the sun sets. And, you know, you can see her following the sun. The sun's just got into Cancer, and she's in 7 degrees of Leo. Matter of fact, on some latitudes, she's going to be hard-pressed to see her. She'll be just too close. It won't quite be dark enough. But she's bright. She's so bright out there, and she's right next to Saturn, so they do make a lovely pair. And the moon's right there now. In particular, if you go up out tonight, shortly after sunset, if you can see the sliver of the moon, it's 4 days after new moon, I guess, you should be able to see two little stars to the right of it, closer to where the sun is setting, if you can, and that would be Venus and Saturn in that order. When Venus goes retrograde, I generally joke when I'm doing charts for people, and I say, well, just be prepared. Every woman in the world is going to become pretty much, you know, a banshee, you know, screaming and yelling and fussing and fighting and just not in a good mood in general, even the quiet ones. And they're like, huh? You know, I said, yeah, she'll turn into Bodacia in a heartbeat. Just watch. And what this is about, when Venus goes retrograde, when she's essentially on vacation, she's going backwards in the sky, women don't tend to do that make nice thing. You know, we're not trying to be attractive in oh so many ways. Where it is in your chart is where you're going to look at your values and say, you know, have I been making nice here? Have I been making just for the sake of peace? Have I been pleasant here when I don't want to be? And I certainly think people are better off by being pleasant. But it doesn't mean, you know, if you go in and you ask for a certain meal at a restaurant and they serve you something else, you should expect to eat it. You know, it's like, no, I'll wait a few more minutes, but I ordered something else. I'd like to have that, please. If you find yourself, women in general, you know, finding yourself a bit more anxious, if you're finding yourself a bit more ready to snap, I would invite you to take a deep breath. Breathing's always good. And be able to say out loud, you know, think about it. Be able to say out loud, what are you really upset about? What about this situation is really irritating you? Is this something that's been building up, or is this actually something that relates to something else? And people will find that the areas of their chart that's affected, it'll be a little bit of both. It'll be if there's anything that has built up, you know, if you've got a neighbor that's been bugging you for a while, or, you know, another part of your life, an office worker, you know, cracks their gum while they're sitting there or something, or, you know, lets their bodily functions just kind of go at whim. You know, you'll find these things, and that'll irritate any Venus. That's why I brought that up. But if you find this, then you just need to be direct and as polite as humanly possible. It doesn't do anybody any good, you know, to throw a fit. I do know some quiet women, very quiet women, that during this time period, they do tend to throw fits more than the rest of us because they're not used to it. They're not used to standing up and saying, you know, I really am not happy about this, or I really would like something else. You know, please go get that now, you know, kind of thing. And their bosses always kind of steer clear of them afterwards for a little bit, maybe give them some time off, and, you know, they're extra nice to them. But it doesn't fix the problem because they never said, you know, they think it had to do with that one day, and it usually doesn't. It has to do with, you know, a repeated pattern of behavior and what is attracted to the person who's throwing a fit. You know, like, why are they dumping on you all the time? Why do you have to put up with this? You know, what are you doing about this? During a Venus retrograde, if Venus goes back and forth over one of your personal planets, that's a good thing. Some people will gain something and then lose it. So I always tell people, you know, be careful if you buy a car, if you get a piece of jewelry, or if you buy yourself a laptop. Go ahead and get the insurance on it right away because you don't want to gain it and then lose it. That's the only drawback with that. But normally if it goes back and forth over a planet that you have in your chart personally, that is an excellent thing. Because then you have Venus going back and forth, you know, three times as opposed to just the once a year that she normally goes over a planet. And you will find experiences with that where if you don't settle for what is just kind of tossed your way the first time, if you hold out and say, you know what, that's not quite the shade I'm looking for. That's not quite what I imagined it to be. Let's drive on. Let's check out something else. If you go on, then you'll find what you're truly attracted to. It's not just having stuff for stuff's sake. Some astrology books will talk about people losing money during a Venus retrograde. And what I find why that is because they spend money the first time something comes by, even though it's not quite what they want. You know, it's not quite what they're attracted to, but it's there. And they don't wait. They don't do research. They don't hold out for something better, so to speak. that old expression, you know, you get what you settle for. And that will make women, particularly, they'll do it during a Venus retrograde, but then they'll get angry for doing it. You know, they'll fuss at themselves, they'll blame themselves, they'll do all that other stuff. And I'm a woman, so I mean, personally, I experience this wholeheartedly, you know, when this happens. I wanted to see how long here that's going to be going. So people, kind of put this on your calendar and just be aware of it, aware of the women around you. If you find women getting fussy between July 28th, and it goes on for a little bit, it's going to go all the way to September 9th. If you find women getting fussy then, remember that Venus is retrograde and stand there and say to them, you're not having a good day, are you? Or, you know, can I help you with something else? Talk to them. Make them aware of, you know, they're not in a good mood and they are taking it out on you. And if it has to do with you, well, good, you want to know about that. If it has to do with something that happened 2 days ago because of somebody else, then you want them to know it's not fair to dump on you right now. You know, if you want to complain about it, then say, gee, I want to complain about it, and give you, the listener, the option to hear it. I often run into sales clerks, or at least I notice the sales clerks that are particularly grouchy during Venus retrograde. You know, younger women that, you know, they're not happy about something, you know, what's going on. And I'm certainly old enough that I'm not personally offended by it, by the behavior. And I find if you just say, instead of, you know, chiding them for misbehaving or not treating a customer correctly, is if what you say to them, wow, you know, you must be having a bad day. I mean, it's as simple as that. Then they'll say, yeah, you know, I am, I'm sorry, and, you know, that kind of pulls them out of it. And that's all you need to do. And again, humor is always good. If you could tell somebody a joke, not make fun of them, but tell them a joke or something, get them to laugh. You know, it just breaks all that ego stuff up. And then you can say, oh, wow, okay, this is what I'm upset about. I'm sorry, it has nothing to do with you, and they're better for it, you're better for it. And then remember that. While Venus is retrograding, she's going to come back and conjunct Saturn, who just entered Leo, like I said, and Venus will be retrograding backwards. So about the middle of August, you'll have this experience where Venus is conjuncting Saturn. And Venus and Saturn, astrologically, are what's called old friends. They're old friends. They actually get along quite well. So if you have this time period, you know, like if you're going to go visit your grandparents or your parents, if, you know, they live far away and you need to go see them, or if you just want to sit down and talk with them, this is a great time to do this. They're going to be more apt to, I don't know, the bonding is much stronger, and you're more apt to hear things that are important and not just the day-to-day stuff. You'll hear about what they feel, what they think. You actually hear some wisdom. If you are in, you know, on the other side to where you can be with your children or grandchildren during this time period, when Venus is conjunct Saturn. And again, you know, she's going to do it once and she's going to come back and do it again as when she gets done going backwards and she's, you know, is going direct again. Then that is just a terrific time, again, to spend with someone who has an age difference with yourself, younger or older. If you need to go talk to a professor, if you need to go get somebody to do IQ testing to get your child into a gifted school or something, this is a good time to do this or find out about how to prep for the tests or something. If you need, well, it's in Leo, so that's not so much legal advice. If you need advice on some creative project, or if you need advice on some, well, depending on your chart, something that has to do with architecture, you know, some making things more beautiful, making things, setting up wills would be good because it has a generosity factor to it, then go see someone during that time period. You don't have to act on it then. You don't have to, you know, nothing's in cement right then, but you can certainly get advice. So you can certainly, you know, put the application in and do something along those lines. And like I said, you can certainly spend that time talking to someone a generation up or a generation down from you, and you'll have a great time doing that. And that's nice to know. It's, you know, that's will be going on at that time period. The other planet that's going to be playing a role during this time, again, Saturn, of course, is in Leo. Venus is in Leo, retrograding, going backwards in the sky. By the time Venus retrogrades, Mars will be in Taurus, will have moved into Taurus, and it's going to be squaring all that. And that's a harsh angle. And what you'll find is people are going to be feeling this tension. And again, particularly people that have Saturn, where it's going through something in their chart, and they haven't quite, they've gotten past the awakening, but they're not having a good time with the purging stage, that Mars squaring Saturn will help greatly with the purging. You will have to give up something. You will have to make a decision or make a choice about something. And, you know, hopefully people will come to that choice themselves. If not, what's going to happen is their boss is going to come, or their mother's going to come, or, you know, the college is going to come, and they'll say, okay, we want you to make a choice about this. You're going to have to do this if you want to accomplish this other thing. I love using astrology as a tool that helps me, you know, get places to where that I want to go. I love using it when I know what's coming up ahead, so I can say, all right, now's the time to act, now's the time to move. What I, you know, will kick myself for, and just kind of, you know, you just shake your head when you miss those opportunities, when things are easy. Right now, in the last 5 weeks, it has been easy to, you know, get some things accomplished. And for people who did not get them accomplished, then they're going to come up to this time period in about, by the end of August, certainly. And it's like, whoops, you know, didn't fill that out, that piece of paper. Whoops, I didn't do this instead. You know, oops, I didn't, you know, I didn't order these things in time. You know, everyone has got their kids going back to school. It's like, you should have gone for the school clothes earlier kind of thing. They're all out of my child's size. So, as you know, as your friendly sidereal astrologer, what I'm going to recommend is you do a lot of that stuff now. Things that you can see are going to be coming up. Some things you're not going to be aware of until they get right there, and okay, then you got to do them. But if you do them with the thought of, I've got a goal, I'm going somewhere in the future with this, I am doing my Saturn in Leo and doing it well, then it just turns out beautiful. Things turn out quite nicely as you get through the next 2 years. If you were born with Saturn in Leo, you're having what's called a Saturn return. And that happens anywhere between the ages of 28 and 30, and the same thing between like 58 and 60, or 60, usually it's 59 to 61, somewhere in there. And, you know, you do feel a great deal of responsibility, and these are the ages that people do. If you're having that very first Saturn return, and again, you were born with Saturn in Leo, as a child, you learned if you stuck your head out, you know, if you showed off too much or whatever, there was usually somebody there to criticize you. Someone said, don't do that. Don't draw attention to yourself. We don't do that in this family kind of thing. If you were creative in any way, it's like, you might have heard your parents fighting about the money. You know, we can't spend the money to send this child to this special class or school or whatever. We don't have money to buy these things. And you pulled yourself back because you didn't want to cause that kind of stress. As you've approached, you know, 28, 30 years old, pardon me, that's at some point, that's when people say, you know what, I always wanted to play the violin, I'm going to go back and play the violin, or I always wanted to go do community theater, that's when I'm going to do that, pardon me here, or I always wanted to wear big jewelry, you know, and dye my hair, you know, a brassy orange, so that's what I'm going to go do. And whatever it is, you know, I think you should do that. You know, it is your inherent right to show yourself off in some way. You know, it could be a car, it could be a house, it could be clothing, it could be bright colors, it could be jewelry, you know, and show yourself off and get some attention that way, you know, for doing something positive, something that you like doing, something that makes you feel good to do it. if you are closing in, if you're part of that age group that is closing in on being around 60, then what you're looking at is, okay, this is what I've been doing for the last 30 years, and now I'm entering my next 30 years. You know, you figure that's about two-thirds the way through. You can get another third now if you kind of take good care of yourself, make it to about, 88, 90 years old. And what you can do with that is literally, learn. You know, you didn't get, because you're raising kids, right? So you didn't get time to play the piano the way you wanted to, or, take up painting, or doing something that gets you attention in a positive way because you're expressing yourself. It's all about expressing yourself and doing something to, and you deserve the applause. You know, you're waiting for it. And that's not a bad thing. It's funny, in the society, we almost treat our celebrities as criminals sometimes. You know, it is not a crime to be famous. You know, it really isn't. And it's an odd love-hate relationship we have with these very successful people. Are these people successful in, like, showbiz standards or getting attention? And granted, some people get attention much better ways than others, but the fact is we give them attention. We give them this. For the individual who works in an office most of their life, or, works out in a farming community or somewhere else, you're often made to feel, particularly if you're born with Saturn and Leo, okay, you don't have a singing voice, so you're not supposed to be doing this, or you're not some great painter, or you're not this great orator, speaker, whatever that is. We don't wear that kind of jewelry here. You know, it's too big, it's too flashy, too expensive. You know, we only wear beads here. We don't wear, fine sapphires here. Certainly at the age of 60, when you come into this for the last 30 of your life, you should at this point be able to say, you know what, I want to do this. And maybe I never wanted to do it before, but I want to do it now. And give yourself the freedom over the next 2 years to do that. And if it means some people are confused about the way you're acting, some people aren't happy about it, well, you know what? That is their problem. It's not yours. You know, if your kids, your grown kids, are saying, Mom, you can't do that. Dad, don't buy that motorcycle. You know, what are you wearing all that leather for? You know, whatever that is. If you're 60 and want to take up belly dancing, for heaven's sakes, go and do it. If it's something you've always wanted to do it, and if your immediate family cannot rejoice for you, well, you should be used to that. It doesn't mean anything. It absolutely should not mean anything. And when you go through these five steps over the next 2 years that Evelyn Underhill wrote about, the mystical process, this awakening, this purging, this illumination, this dark night of the soul, and finally this union, she was talking about the union with God, of course, but this union with yourself and your purpose for being here. You know, why are you here on this planet? Then, you can say, job well done. And you had a good time with it. There was a caller last week who made a statement. He thought he was here for greater things than what he was doing. And I don't know what he was doing, and it doesn't. I think all of us are here to experience life as full as possible. And eventually you get to the point where you're giving back to others. That's the great thing, is being able to serve others. You know, when you have all your needs taken care of, and you've experienced beauty, and you've experienced, the finer things, good education, and you've experienced the freedom of movement, then you give back. I mean, that's the great purpose, and be able to do that. Okay, we're getting ready to close up here, and I got something waved at me by Mary, the office angel, who wanted me to remind people once again that if you have been having trouble getting things from mybirthchart.com, either zodiac challenges or astrological consultations, they are coming. They are coming. We've had some server issues, so we have some information from people. We don't have others. We lost 14 free birth charts last week. So if you ordered a free birth chart from my search. By searchbythestars.com. That's searchbythestars.com. If you ordered your free sidereal birth chart, we lost 14 of them. Of that information. We had them, we saw them, we saw the order numbers, we saw people's names, and boom, they were gone that quick as they were being pulled up, and the server ate them. I don't know what else to say about it. The server ate them. That's about it. If you'd like to look at your free sidereal horoscope, it is updated every Friday on mybirthchart.com. That's your free sidereal horoscope. If you're confused about the sidereal and tropical horoscopes, there's the FAQs on mybirthchart.com. And under free stuff of searchbythestars.com, you go under free stuff, you go under the book, and then if you look under the chapter Sidereal Astrology is My Tomato, you will see it. Well, thanks so much for listening in. This is Deb's the Horoscopes Lady on BBS Radio, and I'll be talking to you next week. Bye now.
Hi. This is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad in Berlin, Germany, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Apple pie.